Let's continue reading verses 20 through 45 of Numbers chapter 14. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have the pronouncement of the Lord that because of unbelief, the children of Israel would die in the wilderness and not enter the promised land. We also have the futile attempt of the children of Israel to enter the land in their own strength. Let's read verses 20 through 38. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive, of the men who went to spy out the land. Once again, let's consider some background notes. We see in verse 20 that God answered Moses' prayer and did not remove the children of Israel, but forgave them for their sin. But there are consequences to forgiven sin, then and today. By the way, when Moses acknowledged back in verse 18 that the iniquity of the fathers is visited on the children to the third and fourth generation, what did Moses mean here? What Moses is talking about here is the biblical principle that the effects of sin can ripple down through several generations. It happens. For example, the sins of adultery and abuse have bad fallout for years to come. In verse 22, the Lord said that the children of Israel had put him to the test these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. When the Lord said 10 times, this is more than figurative language. You can actually count 10 times in the book of Exodus and Numbers. 7 times in the book of Exodus, 3 times in the book of Numbers. Remember in chapter 11, of Numbers, we saw 2 of the times when the children of Israel complained about their problems, and again when the children of Israel complained about their provision of the manna. Now here in chapter 14, we have the final straw. They believed the bad report of the 10 spies rather than the true promises of the Lord. Notice from verse 22 that to commit the sins of the wilderness is to test the Lord then and today. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for the second half of Numbers 14. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. Entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is unbelief. Entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is unbelief. Because of unbelief, they would not enter the land. Instead, they would die in the wilderness. Oh, to be 19 years old at this time. They would wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the whole generation died off. And it looks like the 10 spies who brought back the negative report were the first to die. Verses 36 and 37. Now, here's something that's important, I think, to understand. The fact that Joshua and Caleb were the only two people of that whole generation to enter the promised land does not mean that they were the only two people of that generation that will be in heaven. Remember, the sin of unbelief here is not unbelief in God, but in the promises and power of God. Unbelief paralyzes God's arm. They believed in the one true God, and they were his people, but they didn't believe God could bring them into the land. You know, the same is true of many of God's people today. They are trusting in Christ for salvation and will go to heaven when they die, but they fall short of entering the land of blessing and victory now. What about us? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is the land of promise for the believer now, the heavenly places or heavenly realms. Now, this does not mean that Christians are to be so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. No. But we are to be appreciating and appropriating our spiritual blessings in Christ. And here in Ephesians chapter 1, we have a list of our spiritual blessings. Look at a couple of these blessings in verses 4 and 5. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Are you enjoying these spiritual blessings? Or are you more concerned about the stock market? Or the value of your house? Or who's going to win the ball game? Or whatever? You see the point? Think of it. If you were a believer, you were chosen by God, and you will be holy and blameless before him in heaven forever. And you are now in the family of God forever as a believer. What blessings! But if you're doubting God's promises or questioning God's ways, you are falling short of living in the good of these blessings because of unbelief. Entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is unbelief. Doctrinal point number 2. Entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is presumption. Entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is presumption. Verses 39 through 45. "Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, 'Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned.' And Moses said, 'Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you.' But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah." Can you believe it? The children of Israel refused to enter the land with God's help. And now when they realize their mistake, they try to enter on their own and they are defeated. This is the sin of presumption. They assumed that they could enter at their will. In their own strength, they assumed that God would bail them out, but they assumed wrong. entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is presumption. They admitted they had sinned, but this was not true confession of sin. Notice that the cloud of God's presence did not go before them, and the Ark of the Covenant was not in their midst, and the word of the Lord did not order this self-directed operation. In fact, they were told not to proceed, and that the Lord would not be with them. No wonder they were defeated. Now, do you see the spiritual lesson? Entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is presumption. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Notice where our spiritual battles take place, in the heavenly realms. Remember, that's where our blessings are as well, right? This is the land. This is the land in the spiritual picture that we have here in the book of Numbers. We are guaranteed victory in spiritual battle if we take on the full armor of God. But if we don't take on the full armor of God, we will fail. If we try to do spiritual battle in our own strength, we will be defeated. You cannot overcome doubt and discouragement and despair with self-help methods. You must look to the Lord. Don't commit the sin of presumption. Entrance into the land cannot be attained when there is presumption. What about practical application? Don't water down the Red Sea. Don't water down the Red Sea. The end of verse 25 is a sad verse. This is the beginning of the wilderness wanderings. Tomorrow, turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. The Red Sea here would be that part of the Red Sea which is known today as the Gulf of Aqaba. Now, the Hebrew words for Red Sea could also be translated Reed Sea. For this reason, some folks have tried to water down the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea by having the children of Israel only cross a marshy area east of Egypt. But wait a minute. What about all the details of Exodus 14? What about the walls of water that the children of Israel passed through? What about the return of the waters to completely cover the horses and chariots of the Egyptian army? What about the drowned Egyptian soldiers being washed up on the beaches? Read Exodus chapter 14. This was no crossing of a marsh. And here in Numbers chapter 14, it says they set out in their wanderings by the way of the Red Sea. They did not go back to some marshy area on the border of Egypt. No, the Red Sea is the Red Sea. Now, exactly where they crossed is still unknown. Gulf of Suez, Straits of Tehran, Gulf of Aqaba, we don't know for sure. But the Red Sea is the Red Sea. Don't water down the Red Sea.